100 years after the start of World War I, the Great War, and a century to the day, or maybe even to the hour, after the armistice ending the war. So it's quite extraordinary. So it's very great pleasure to have Alexander Gatalitsa. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Very good. We had a weekend of commemorations in the United Kingdom about the war. And this book is extraordinary. I can say, hand on heart, as I was reading it today on page 126, 132, on the travelator up Waterloo and City Line, and you know what that's like, of course, when every second counts. So I really got it. It was very gripping. It's a great book, so I recommend that you buy it. That's not a plug. It's just a fact. And Mr. Gatalitsa is an extraordinary person. I would say, I don't even know you, but I'll say you're an extraordinary person. A man for all seasons. No, it's true, though. When you read what he's done, it's incredible. So prize-winning Serbian author, 5 novels, the most significant being Linija života, which in Russian is different because it means the shape of your stomach, but anyway, it means the lines of life. And this extraordinary novel, which has won 4 prizes in Serbia, 4 major Serbian prizes, The Great War. He's also an author of cycles of short stories. And most interestingly, and that's why I said you're extraordinary, you are a prolific translator from ancient Greek. That, by the way, is a mistranslation. Old Greek, no. Ancient Greek, of Aeschylus, of Sophocles, of Euripides' plays, not to mention ancient poets such as Sappho. I'll go on and on. And you're also a music critic, which is extraordinary as well, for program 202, right? Vecherne Novosti, that was, and Blitz,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken. So, really, pretty incredible. So this is a great book, honestly, latest from Istros Publishers, personified here by Susie Curtis, who brings us books, truly, that you would never have known about or otherwise discovered. And this is a very good translation by Will Firth. So what is it that, for me, you know, this is a gripping tale, and it's a series of what I would call vignettes and threads of people who, over 5 years, the war starts for them, it ends for them. It's a story of the great and the good, and of the simple spice merchant, the simple Scottish soldier, Russian grand dukes, German singers, Scottish foot soldiers. So it's quite incredible. The last thing I read as I was coming up the travel later was the tale of the banquet from Satyricon, right? Yes. What's the name of the banquet? It's somebody's...
Boris Razumovich.
Boris Razumovich, a Russian who's preparing a banquet out of a dead horse for the troops, and it ends up being parts of human bodies as well, but everybody had a good time. So it really incredible. It really is incredible. So let me just ask you, I don't know if you have introductory remarks, but my first question would be, what is the genesis, to use a biblical term, of this book? Why did you write it? And you can either answer that question or say whatever you want.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here. Nice to see some old friends as Milica. I tried to celebrate the centenary of the First World War, but to write a novel about First World War, but not actually about the war, but actually about the epoch called Belle Epoque, you know. It is the epoch in Europe from 1878, after the Berlin Congress, and 1914. Beautiful time for Europe, the time of 38 good years without war in Europe, without war between the great countries. The day we know, the years we actually mention as the best years in Europe history, or at least in a recent Europe history. So I try to be advocate of that beautiful 38 years, and try to find more enough representative of that time who stepped in the First World War as innocent persons, know nothing about war. You can realize if the major countries in Europe were in war in 1878, no soldier of French know nothing about war, no soldier from Austria know nothing about war, Germany also. Serbian, Bulgarian, Greek, Turkish, and bits part of the Russian soldiers know something about the war in 1914. the millions was going to the war without knowledge about what is the war. They know what is the peaceful time, what is a good time, time of prosperity, and everything was stopped just in one day. It is very bad for life, and but very good for novel.
So you have 70 there. There are 70 characters in the book, but don't let that dissuade you, because it's really easy to follow, actually, because they're so colorful and gripping and unique that you have no trouble switching from one person to another. Why did you... You have simple people, you have kings and dukes and generals and merchants and mm-hmm. foot soldiers. Why did you do it like that?
The answer is partly the same as in the previous question. I try to find enough portion of different characters to represent the whole epoch, whole part of history. And if you want to do this, you cannot choose one, two, or three, but you must choose more characters from bottom of society to the top. From merchants, waiters to princes and scientists, and try to it's something you can do as a writer to do their destiny so colorful, so representative for whole society or for whole part of their society. So we can find the Germans, the Russians, the French, the Serbians,
Turkish
also. The Turkish spice merchant is one of the main characters in a book.
Everybody is a real person?
No, there is it is normally novel. There, especially novel who treat historic events, it is the fictional persons, characters, and it is the historic characters. I took some photographs to show some of portraits of some of historical characters.
Do you want to show the portraits? Or I have one more question.
Yes, one more question.
I have lots of questions actually, but you also thank. It's sort of interesting in the acknowledgments. John Reed, and you also thank the journalists of Politica, mm-hmm. who you write to quote, prove that authors can also write about things they haven't experienced firsthand, as long as they're informed about events by good, reliable witnesses. So why Politica, and what is that source? Mm-hmm. I didn't understand.
Yes.
So that made me think that everybody was a real... Source.
No. What is important? If you write a novel about historic events, there are two facts which is important to you. First kind of fact is a fact considering the situation precisely. What was going to happen? Who took part in some days? But the second one. Documents are more important for the writer. It is, I call it, a part of the life. When a reporter of some daily newspaper gave you, as a writer, part of a life, part of a feeling, part of a human character, hopes, prejudice, etc. So the Politica was the main, and even now is the main daily newspaper in Belgrade. And I read Politica from day to day in 1914, and found the plenty of characters from that times. Because you know what is interesting, the newspaper of that time don't have photographs. And journalists cannot rely on photo section as today can. So the journalist must report, as now he is on a first play reporter, but he must describe the situation to his reader, because then he cannot rely on photo. So the reporters of Politica describe how it's going to happen with Baron Gislingen gave the nota or ultimatum of Austro-Hungary, and he noticed that that Mr. Gislingen was dressed in travel clothes.
Yeah.
Prepared to go out from Belgrade, prepared to be to go out, and that he was pale in the face when he stepped into the Ministry of Serbia. And today, journalists will not do that because he'll rely on a photo.
Yeah.
But the journalist on that time was partly a reporter, partly writers. So he was very good. To me, and John Reed, of course, he was a genius reporter from USA, and he spent 4 months in Serbia in 1915, and wrote a fabulous book, Serbia in 1915. And after that, he gone to Russia, and wrote the famous book, 10 Years, which changed
the
world.
Yeah.
And of course, I read both of that books, especially that Serbia 1915, which is less known. I don't know whether it is translated on English. And it is a very good book, showing Serbia in a right way, not to flatter Serbia, not to accuse Serbia, but as a reporter did, just look and. Wrote what I looked in Serbia, and it is completely fabulous and a very good writer to have someone like John Reed. It was
that's very interesting.
Report.
I didn't realize he wrote a book about Serbia. Do you want to show the few photos, or
yes,
shall we move?
Yes, it is true that some characters in the book is historical persons, and it is. Common thing in using historic material in a modern novel. So this is the proclamation of war of Kaiser Wilhelm. It is very interesting, and this is Fritz Haber, the chemist who first used who established the gas war in the First World War. Look on his face. Yes, look at his face. He has a face of a serial killer, which he was, actually. After the war, he received the Nobel Prize for Chemistry. In 1919, he received the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for his work before First World War, not for gas poison. he was Jew, actually, and finished in exile in Switzerland in 1937. Some of his inventions used against the Jews in Second World War. So it was completely as he is not real, but a person invented for a Nobel. The next one is his wife, Clara Jumenberg. She was also the chemist and killed himself when heard that her husband, this is her husband and this is his wife, completely different persons. He killed committed suicide when he heard that her husband used the chemical weapon for the first time in Ypres, in Belgium, on 1916. This is the Paul Wittgenstein, the famous pianist before the First World War, also the character in the novel. As you can see, he lost his right arm. Dreadful punishment for one pianist to lose a right arm. But Paul Wittgenstein was a very persistent person, and with the left hand he continued to practicing, and even, maybe some of you know, maybe not, even he asked the two famous composers after the First World War, Prokofiev and Rachmaninov, to compose the left-hand concerto for him, just for left hand. And that two pieces are famous even now, and most of pianists with the two hands play the left-hand concerto just with their left hand. This is the Majo Gavrilović, famous in Serbia, of order he gave to his soldier in defense of Belgrade in September 1915. He told to them, "You're not alive. You're not to worry to your life. You just have to defend your capital." This is the Kiki from Montparnasse, the famous model. And this is the maybe the first nude picture after the First World War, maybe 1919-1920. And these are the 1, 2, 3, 4, eight messenger of 16 Bavarian regiment, among them Adolf Hitler. A question for you: where is the Adolf Hitler?
The one with the
yes, sitting far left, sitting far left, not standing far left. The person who stands far left looks like him more, but no, the Hitler is sitting far left. And the famous dog, the Hund, who saved the life to Adolf Hitler is between two Maldegangers. They call them Maldegangers. This is the Sanders, message senders of 16th Bavarian regiment. Mata Hari, famous dancer and singer before the First World War, and the famous spy in First World War. He finished in 1917, accused to be a German spy. And Manfred von Richthofen, famous pilot from the First World War. A person who looks like James Bond. he wear the Pour le Mérite. This is the high-ranking decoration in German army, which is, I suppose, only the 315 that decoration was given by Kaiser himself. And Manfred von Richthofen received one of that. Svetozar von Borojevic, a very interesting person, from both sides Serbian, mother and father Serbian, born in Umetic in, now in Croatia, and he was one of the highest ranking Austro-Hungarian generals in the First World War, and no matter of his Serbian origin, he was the loyal soldier to Austro-Hungary until the very, very end of the war. He died in 1920 and buried in Vienna, and finished whole circle as a he was a Feldmarshal, just a few Feldmarshals was in First World War. He was famous. He was in Sarajevo in June 28, because one army in maneuvers, military maneuvers. That is why Archduke was in Sarajevo. One army is leading by Archduke, and another army in that man was leading by Svetozar Borojevic. And the second army defeated the first army in that maneuvers in June, between 24th and 27th June in 1914. And on June 28th, the Archduke was killed in Sarajevo, as you know. This is the bedroom of last German emperor, Kaiser Wilhelm. He was exiled in a so-called Doom's House, in a kind of a clinics or something like that, on a border of Germany and Holland. And even now you can see that bedroom. This is the last bedroom of Kaiser Wilhelm, where he was exiled. After the war, Kaiser Wilhelm lived long, and even Hitler tended to return him in Germany, but the first days after the collapse of German Empire, he spent here. In this very room, no. And this is very, very. This is the charity box, British charity box from First World War, and signed "Help, Gallant Little Serbia." this is the wallpaper from America. It's charity wallpaper. "Save Serbia, Our Ally." And this is interesting. This is the first switch watch at the.
Wristwatch.
First ever made For British soldiers, Mark V, it is the name of that watch. And this is the first American watch for American soldiers. So for the first, as you can see, it is armed watch. you cannot broke the glass. So that is some interesting, I suppose, to you, portraits and something from the First World War.
Well, actually, everything in there, even the wristwatches, they're all in the novel. Maybe the bed isn't. I don't remember.
No. Yes, bed is also in there. Right. Also in the last pages.
Okay. I just have to ask, we maybe have questions. Let me just ask one thing about Serbian consciousness about World War I and perspective. Is it what separates it from, we've just had a weekend of commemorative ceremony, here in London. What separates your Balkan historic and political perspective on World War I from Western? What's different?
First of all, I'm not a historian, I'm the writer.
Yeah.
But since I took part in one seminar in British Library yesterday, we spoke about the differences between perspective of history of First World War from the Balkan side and from British side. There is one major question we cannot solve in the same way. What is the cause of the First World War? Plenty of historians even today try to accuse a 7 years old boy Gavrilo Princip for changing history, and I suppose that we are enough mature not to believe in that one 17 years old boy can change history. History was the prepared for change, and assassination of Archduke in Sarajevo was just if I may say, happily event for catalysator for that events. I don't know whether you know that Gavrilo Princip actually killed Archduke because of lucky coincidence for him as assassinator. The car was wrongly turned to the wrong street and stopped. And when in the few seconds. They gave order to the driver to drive backward. He shot the Archduke. It is the fact which can show to us even the century after that event that assassinator in Sarajevo was amateurs. Comparing to today terrorists who are equipped as a military, paramilitary formation. And they were the not students, they were pupils, in high school, 16, 17 and 18 years. And luckily to them, they managed to kill the Archduke. And I'm completely sure as a writer that same situation repeated 100 or 1,000 times, they couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But on that one time, they managed to do that. So more interesting facts we mentioned yesterday in British Library. The fact that mentioned Ambassador Gislingen, who gave the ultimatum to Serbia, didn't give it to Nikola Pašić, who was prime minister, because Serbia was in election campaign, and Nikola Pašić was in Kruševac. And Gislingen gave the ultimatum to Ministry of Finance, Lazar Paču, who was occasionally in the ministry at that time. So no country provoked a war with such a big neighbor and taking the pre-election activities. And the prime minister was in Kruševac, which is 250 kilometers from Belgrade. That is a very interesting fact.
Right, well, let me turn it over to you. Does anybody have a comment, question? thought, Milica?
Maybe a short one. It's great to have you here.
It's great to have you here. Thanks to Istra's books and to communicate our communications. I just wanted to ask you to explain the history of the flower that you are wearing, which is not a poppy, but it's still something to remember the First World War.
Yes, this is a commemorative sign used for the last 3 years in Serbia, called Natalia Sramonda. Natalia Sramonda. It is a flower of small violet flower, growing in a mountain of Kaymakçalan. Mountain of Kaymakçalan is mountain between southern Macedonia and northern Greece. And in 1916, Serbian army won the great victory in mountain of Kaymakçalan, defeating the Bulgarians in. As I know, highest altitude battle in First World War on near 2,000 meters altitude in a peak of St. Ilija won the great victory. And that plant, that flower, Ramonda, is from the Kaymakçalan, and the sign, commemorative sign, which we remember the victims in the First World War in Serbia. I found that it is good. It is just for 3 years, not, I don't know how long the poppy is used in England, but maybe almost 100.
I suppose.
I don't know. Other questions? Sir?
I've listened recently to an interview given by Prince Karl from Habsburg, the grandson of Emperor Franz Joseph and the son of Otto von Habsburg. And he was saying that some of his properties in Sarajevo have been restored to him, and he has re-established, at least symbolically, the house of Habsburg in the former Yugoslavia, in Bosnia. And in the context of what is happening nowadays in Ukraine, do you think that the idea of Middle Europa is going to be at least symbolically re-established in Central and South Eastern Europe, or it's something that is probably going to take a long time, and the conflict in Ukraine will probably take more years, and probably Putin does not really like this idea that Western Ukraine is moving closer to Europe, whereas Eastern Ukraine is trying to remain as part of Russia, is Novaya Russia. So it's a very complex idea, but maybe you can give us your perspective on this development.
Actually, I don't know what is going to happen in Ukraine and how long it does it take. But what I know is that you cannot re-establish the history as a present in the present day. History is a history, and the present day is present day. When you have the 100 years between two parts of a history, you may be sure that you live in another time. We live in another time. No Danube monarchy can be established now in a way they were in 100 years and 150 years ago. But maybe some of ideas of Middle Europa can be established, but in a completely new surroundings, with completely new way of thinking. After all, we are living in 21st century, the new century. Has new problems, new way of thinking. So I think that it is not possible to renew the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and I think that it wouldn't be good at all. But some of ideas of the 19th century we have now, we are faced now. In 19th century, in that Belle Epoque, you can travel without just with the personal documents. And now we can travel just, most of European can travel just with the personal documents. And today, degree of unified Europe is the similar on some way of a way of integration of Europe in 19th century, but completely different in a character, in a structure. And that is the way how the sum of ideas from past time can be reestablished in the present, but history cannot be reestablished in totally in a whole.
Alexander, can you tell us, because I already know, of course, but I think it's interesting to know the process of how you wrote this book, how long it took you, etc.
How long to write?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Also, almost as the First World War lasted for 4.5 years, and I've written that book for almost 4 years. But I was not typing, actually, for 4 years. Planning, finding the documents, reading the materials, that was three and a half years, and maybe 1 year is the time of typing. But I consider the time I preparing the book as the time of writing book, because I couldn't write it without preparing. So almost 4 years, almost 4 years between 2008 and 2012.
And were you aiming for the centenary, for the 100 years? Or?
No, everybody asked me that. Why?
Typical
American question. Why don't you write that book on 2002 or 2022? Why just in occasion of jubilee of centenary? No, I didn't want to commemorate. I didn't want to write a book to be awarded. I had idea in 2002, 2003 about that book, and I wanted to write it on that time, but I didn't, because I wrote some other books. And occasionally on 2008, I told to myself, yes, it is a good time to start to finish that huge job, and finish it in 2012, not 2014. And book was published 2 years before the centenary. All so right. It was not prepared, but not at least for Serbian language, not prepared for the centenary, but 2 years before.
And were you surprised? I mean, it won four prizes in Serbia. Were you surprised at the resonance that it had in the country?
Yes, I am completely surprised with the huge success of a book in Serbia, I may say. After that, two prizes. First, Nin Award, it is the Serbian Booker Prize. And after that, the Meša Selimović Prize. This is the second important prize in Serbia for novels, for books. The huge number of writers started to write, to read the books, and we sell the 35,000 copies in Serbia, which is completely unbelievable, because Serbia has 7.5 million inhabitants, am I right? Mm-hmm. Seven and a half. And to sold the 35,000, it is 0.5% of population. It is completely unexpected to me and to my publisher, and so many persons read the book and commented it. After that two prizes, which is literary prizes, I received also two, on some way expected, the widely read book in Serbian libraries. This is the award of Serbian National Library. And the most selling book in Serbian bookshops. This is the award of Serbian journalists concerning the culture sections. This is that for fourth. But the 35,000 sold copies and the readers is best. 35,000 copies and the readers is the best award for each writer to be written.
I have a question. So I don't come from Serbia, I come from the region, and I know that different parts of the region tend to have a different perspective on the events that you are, I guess, nicely describing in the book. Now I can see that you are promoting the book here, but did you promote the book like in the region? So can you tell us something about that? So like, you know, about selling the book in Croatia and Bosnia.
Actually, the book is not translated in Macedonian and Slovenian, but since the Montenegrin, Bosnian, Croatian and Serbian can read each other without any problems, the book is good accepted in Bosnia and I should say very good accepted in Croatia. Because I don't want to. I'm the writer. I'm not a historian. I write about the destiny of the small people, about the, their problems, about them as innocent victims of that war. This is the universal human language. I thought about the possibility that that politics may come into my book and stop it on the very first page. Because I'm sure that each writer and each artist should be only the advocate of the small people.
Yeah, I think that's what makes, I mean, at least for me, that's what made it, I haven't read it all, but 130 pages, it makes it so good because it's so personal. It is chronological. It's separated into 4 years. I wonder what happens, you know, next year and next year to character X and character Y. So it's all very detailed personal about little people and big people, great people, well-known people, with incredible eye for personal detail. And that, in a funny way, without the politics, is what makes it so gripping. So anyway, I'll go back to you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Sir? Yeah. Go ahead.
I have to confess that I had no chance to read the book. I promised to do so. And the second one, I know why there are so many people here in in Waterloo, which is not pushing it fast enough, because you may read the book on the.
Oh, I see.
Now the question: do you have any in the characters? Do you have any Romanians?
No, actually, there is no Romanians as a character.
Well, Romania was part of the.
Yes, in 1916, Romania stepped in the First World War on an ally part.
Yes.
I say no. Actually, no. There is no Romanian characters. From, I must, you know, it's 78 characters in the novel. If I include more nationalities or countries, it would be more than 100, and it wouldn't be possible to write that kind of book. Actually, I mentioned the main. Main events in the First World War, and mention the people who took part in that main event. So you can find plenty of French characters, German, Austro-Hungarian as well, Serbian, because I'm a Serbian writer, Turkish, Russians, and Britain.
And one Italian.
And one Italian, Giorgio di Chirico, historical person.
And Jean Cocteau.
Jean Cocteau from French side.
Right. Go ahead. Oh, did you have a... No? Oh, I thought... you're fine. Okay. I thought another Romanian question.
I have another question.
What country are you from?
I'm from Montenegro, and I'm actually traveling tonight to Belgrade, so I didn't read the book yet, but I'm going to read it in Serbian. So tomorrow I'm going to buy the book.
35,000 plus one.
My question is like about your future plans. Is the book something that can be kind of like treated as the first part of something bigger, or I mean, kind of like just your personal?
No, this is not kind of trilogy or something like that. About the plans, next year in April. Will be published the French edition in publisher Belfond, and in the end of next year I expect the German edition in Hamburg Schäffling Hamburg printing house. That's the plans. I'm going to promote book in France in April and maybe next November in Germany.
Maybe you could mention, you said that it was going to be reviewed in the Times Literary Supplement. Mm-hmm. Where else are you?
Well, I mean, we'd like it to be reviewed everywhere. I think
yes.
in the Guardian and the TLS and hopefully the Independent. Anyway, but it's just come out. I should also add that apart from the 4.5 years to write it, it took a year to translate it. It's 173,000 words, so quite a task there. But I hope it will be widely reviewed. People have expressed a great interest in it. So. It's our most ambitious book so far, definitely.
Other, Charlotte?
I'm interested in how you kept yourself from getting bogged down in the reading of Politica from that era, because I can imagine that doing research for a book like this and reading the newspapers from that time could be quite absorbing. And sort of how did you keep yourself back to say, okay, I'm going to pursue this character and this, and to not get too pulled into it?
I must tell you that for writer and for artist who for writer who write about the things he never can see with his own eyes is very important to find someone who was the eyewitness of the days you are writing on. And I found it in a journalist mainly, not just in a Serbian journalist, but in a journalist in a daily newspaper printed in Bosnia, in Croatia, and partly in Austro-Hungarian. The thing is that when you read the newspaper is worth for one day, for today, and you received the fresh portion of information what was going to happen on that very day. It is very important if the day is important. The two important days in July crisis in 1914 was 10th and 12th July according to old calendar. We have old calendar until the end of the First World War. So it is the 23rd July and 25th July, according to new calendar. On the 23rd, mentioned the ambassador for Austria-Hungary, Gislingen, gave the ultimatum to Serbia. And ultimatum is 48 hours, exactly. He gave it in 6 p.m. In 23rd of July, and came again exactly 48 hours after that in 6 and 15 minutes, 6 p.m. and 15 minutes on July 25th. It is most important to write it to read the newspapers from that very day. Actually, the next day, you know, the newspaper is late for the 24 hours. And to find out how the persons who lived in that day feel about that. And it was very interesting. We spoke about that yesterday in British Library a bit. That the most of them thought that it wouldn't be a war. It's not going to be a war. It's just one more crisis. Who cares about that ultimatum? What is that after all? And the ordinary person just wants to live, just wants to survive, just wants to tend. Nothing's going to be. And it is typical even today. It is kind of way of surviving, I can say. So it is interesting, and it is crucial for writer to find out the reliable eyewitness of the epoch.
Anyone else? Yeah. Please.
Who was your favorite real life character that you included in the book, and what's the Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, it is like the mother. You ask her which child loves her. Yes, each character you invent is kind of your child, yes. But to some of characters you must give more pages to make them more important than another, and it is obvious that you tied with that character strongly. I must say that merchant from Mehmet Yildiz, Turkish merchant from Istanbul, is one of my favorite, because I pretend to be a little bit Ivo Andrić, portraying that Turkish merchant, and a couple of them also, but each and every in the book on the last thing.
Anyone else, please?
You said that you're taking there like different characters from different nationality, France, German, and all the countries that were playing in the war. Did you get to study different nationalities and speak to different other people, say French, for example? I haven't read the book, but I'm going to.
Yes, there is a plenty of French characters because the French role in the First World War was great. Most of them are artists. Some of them are ordinary people. I mentioned the famous leaders, famous generals, but just mentioned, not like the characters. Gallieni, General Gallieni, General Foch, General, but just mentioned as a figures, not the characters, because I was interested in a small person, so-called everyday man, how they lived, how they accepted the situation, which was completely terrible and new for them. You must know, and maybe you know, that French army marched to the war through Paris, and the girls put the flowers into the rifles, and it was a famous film about that. Can you imagine the complete opposite situation in a French trench just a few months after that? Dirty. Most of your friends were dead. Where their flowers? Where their flowers? So I was interested in that characters which marching through the Paris, and after that managing to luckily to survive until the Christmas of 1914. In completely disoriented, lost. Not expecting anything but death, just a few months after that. It is a completely novelistic situation. It is very bad for life, very good for novel, as I said.
But is there something, I think you were trying to say, is there anything you would generalize about national character from these different streams? Is there something, Austrians are like this, Germans like that? It's intensely personal, but there's nothing general.
No, nothing general. Nothing general, because if you look the situation in a German trench and a French trench, it's completely the same situation. Completely the same soldiers, the same way of thinking, if it is kind of a way of thinking. Complete loss of any idea of what is going to happen, how long it is going to be. Most of soldiers from both sides were completely aware that war is not going to be longer than a few months, few weeks. few weeks even, and it, that it's going to be some kind of a theatrical war or something like that, like maneuvers or something like that. And when they faced with the terrible losses in the first battle in the Western Front, this is the Borden in Alsace. It was the first battle in the Western Front. When they faced with the losses, terrible losses, one journalist wrote the complete generation of France was frozen after that, frozen to death, never to expect something like that. In a battle of Cer, in the mountain Cer, this is the first battle in Balkan Peninsula. Was killed in a week, more soldiers than in a both Balkan wars in two previous years. The scale of killing was enormous. It was completely unexpected. After that week in the Cer, on the battle in the Cer mountain and the Drina River, both sides for 3 days collected deaths because of the fact that it was in August, and that was a huge number of victims on both sides, and a committee of doctors and medicines together gathering the corpse because it was warm and it was over the 30 degrees centigrade. So it was completely unexpected, completely horrifying experience for whole generation, not just in France, in Germany, in Austria-Hungary. And it was to my opinion, and after my research, completely the same. The reaction of a German soldier, Austro-Hungarian soldier, Serbian soldier, French soldier was the same, or almost the same. What was going to happen, for God's sake?
You have in there also these absurd moments where all this is happening, and then people stop, and they, you know, one, there's a scene with a German soldier and a French soldier coming together, or the German baritone with, and everything sort of quiets down, and then somebody starts the insanity again. Mm-hmm. Or what was the thing? There was also the single French clock, and then the, what was that? That's a tale.
Yes,
from the trenches was coming this sound at 10 a.m. every day.
Yes,
of
yes.
A single clock. And it was driving the Germans nuts on the other side of the trenches. What is this clock? What does it mean? Is it a signal? Are they going to attack at 10 o'clock? So what did they do? They brought cuckoo clocks. The Germans brought, so they set up little cuckoo clocks in the trench. So the 10 o'clock single French alarm would go, and then all the cuckoo clocks would go. Mm-hmm.
It was a true story. It was a true story from the First World War about the clocks. But the true story is also the meeting between the German, French, and Scottish soldiers on a Christmas on 1914. It was I have a photograph actually from that unexpected meeting. They stopped to fight for Christmas during the 3 days, 2 days, 48 hours. And they spent Christmas together, French, German, and Scottish soldiers. And when Christmas was over, the generals from all three army came on that small place on the northern France, and killed more than 50 soldiers on a martial court because of that fact, because they celebrate together Christmas, and ordered to the rest of them to continue to fighting, and most of them could not kill each other again. And after that, the regiments was settled in that part of the front was settled on the other part of the France to kill some other soldiers because they cannot shoot on each other. And the French officers was cruel. I found the fact that more than 50 soldiers and officers was killed in according to martial court because of that fact that they celebrate the Christmas together. And this is the one and only and the last try to stop. Shooting on Christmas. It was shooting on Christmas on 1915, 16, and 17, and nobody think about that to stop something like war on Christmas.
I think that's sort of an appropriate moment to end this conversation. Thank you very much. This you can buy a copy. Once again, from Susie, for the discount price of £10. And you'll sign the copy.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Once again,
I recommend it personally. And it was a delight to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry.